we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I went to sleep, Trump had to leave. How the hell did we go from election day to election week? The posters got it wrong again, they must have been confused. But I tell ya, I about to shit myself when I turn on the morning news, cause they found pilots from the mountains at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. They took the caps off of their Sharpies and they filled them purses in. All those pallets full of ballots, all for Joe Biden. Well, isn't that sweet? He got just what he needs. They found just enough folks to get sleepy Joe to lead. He said, come on, man, I hope you'll be here for it. Donald Trump said, that shit, I'll sleep your ass in court. Bring those pallets and ballots down at 3 a.m. All the way from Georgia to Michigan. They called Arizona early, and the only way to win is the pallets for the ballots on Joe Biden. Doesn't matter, cause they found pallets from the ballots at 3 a.m. All the way from Arizona to Wisconsin. They want us to bend over so they can fuck us again. It's pallets from the ballots, that's the only way they'll win. It's pallets full of ballots, all for somebody. God bless Donald Trump.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm The Armchair Survivalist. Today is November the 22nd in the year 2020, and we still have the same president so far. Anyway, if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and you scroll down, you're going to see all the different ways to listen to me. Now, this is important because everything's changing. All of these platforms are changing. I used to be on shortwave radio, and now we've got better coverage on all of these weird apps that you can get, like Stitcher or Anchor or iHeartRadio. I'm on YouTube. There's a new one coming. There's a new YouTube coming up, Rumble.com. I'll be on that also. I'm on satellite, Globalstar 3 satellite. And in fact, there's a 24/7 live feed there on my website. You can listen in the chat room. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and at the top of the page, you will see these two links up there in a kind of a aqua-colored box, kind of. One of them says, listen to my show live Sunday in a chat room. Well, you click on there, you go to the chat room, you can listen live, it's automatic, it loads, and you don't have to do anything. If you want to, you can log in and talk to people. We don't have many people there anymore because most people don't listen to me live anymore. They listen to me sometime during the week. Or the other link is listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of The Armchair Survivalist. Click here. You do that, you're going to hear the most recent show. So there's all these different ways to listen to me. And on top of all of that, on the left-hand side of any of the armchairsurvivalist.com pages, you'll see the little black and white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that, and that'll take you to the archive page, which lists all of the shows that I've done for the current year. Remember show notes, because that's important. At least it is to me. Not many of you give a damn about it, but I do. Show notes is very important. This way, you don't just listen to me talk. You can go there if you have the ability, and you can double-check everything I'm saying, and plus you can find more data, because I only have so much time. I got a couple hours I can talk on Sundays. But I have all of the shows that I've done for the current year, and when you click on that, say last week, November 15th, you click on that, takes you to a page, show notes for November 15th. And I have everything I talk about, all the links there, all kinds of information about voter fraud, information that is mind-blowing. So that's what you can do, you know, on my website. I'm looking at changing it up a little bit next year also. I might do an aggregate news system like Jeff Rantz does, or Steve Quayle does, something like that, just so people have one place to go and they can get as much news as possible. Speaking of news, let's get the news about my company out of the way. Survival Enterprises, survivalenterprises.com, SE1.us. Our phone number here is 800-753-1981. So you can get a hold of us, go online, look at our products, all kinds of things. Now, there is some information that I got to give you about the company. The two of our major products that we've been carrying for 30 years, the Ultimate Daily Vitamin and a Swedish Dry Mix to make your own Swedish bitter. So the Swedish Herbs Dry Mix are no longer available. The formulator is having too much difficulty getting the products necessary to make the Ultimate Daily Vitamin, so they're not going to be made anymore. And the Swedish herbs, we have to import them out of Germany, and that's problematic right now. So those two things, no more. There's a lot of different products. The channel that controls everything, the shipping channels, the transportation channels, they're shutting down. They're changing. Everything will change. Who knows what the hell's going on? If you're going to order liquids, do it now. Colloidal minerals, colloidal silver, Lugol's iodine, the ionic minerals, anything that you want to order liquid, do it as quickly as possible. Now, we monitor the weather really close between you and me, so we know if there's going to be a freeze and we won't ship that way. We'll wait a couple days or so and then ship when it's going to be safer. All right, now, and I mentioned this in the last show, shortwave radios are coming back this week, next week. The owner of the manufacturer where I used to get these died, and his son took it over and running it again now. This will be the Voyager radio. It's an AM FM shortwave radio with a NOAA weather band on it. It has a built-in batteries that you can charge with either the solar panel that is on the top of it or a crank on the side of it. And you can also put your own batteries in, and it'll be coming with an AC adapter so you can don't have to worry about batteries. You just plug it into the wall. And it also comes with a special 20-foot reel antenna. You reel it up. It'll fit in your pocket. And it clips right to the antenna that's on the radio. It's astounding what this does. You're sitting in your house or your apartment, and you turn this radio on to get shortwave, and you can't get a damn thing. It's because you're inside the building. So you clip the antenna to this, open your window, drop this thing out the window. And voila, all of a sudden you're listening to Japan. Or information that you're not going to get on AM, FM. AM, FM stations are 100% controlled by the government. And what's said on those stations is 100% controlled by the corporations that pay to have ads put on those stations. So you're limited on the information you're going to get, unless you get shortwave. Everyone should have at least one shortwave radio. I've got, well, in my studio at home, I turn around and I have 7 shortwave radios on the shelf up there. I've got like 3 Grundigs. And by the way, this company that's making this shortwave radio, the Voyager, makes Grundig also. It's the same factory. And then I have Voyager, and I have one of the... remember originally when the survival fad hit years ago, there was this big radio, looked like bigger than a lunchbox, with a crank on it. And you cranked it up, and that was its power source. Well, I've got one of those up there, and it still works. So anyway, those are the things that's important for the company. Need to get that out of the way. Now, let's get into the economy. You know, I have different categories: economy, food and health, liberal psychosis, government threat, Trump, Islam, whatever category is hot that week, that's the one I'm going to do. So in the economy, AT&T. Did you know AT&T owned CNN? Yes, AT&T owned CNN. Unfortunately, over the last 4 years, CNN's ratings have dumped because, well, all they do is hate Trump. Hate Trump, lie about white people, lie about Americans, lie about Republicans, lie about conservatives. Well, basically, they're lying so much that AT&T is trying to find some fool to buy it. They need to get rid of CNN. And by the way, there's a lot of people out there that actually think Fox News is not part of the mainstream media. It is. Fox News, in the past month, they've taken off the gloves and proven what they are. See, for years, I would wonder why, when every time a host left Fox News, they'd end up on CNN or MSNBC. Well, it's because that's where they get them. That's where they start from. Basically, to be a host on Fox News, you have to be able to pretend that you're conservative. Tucker Carlson, well, the truth came out about him, too. He's controlled opposition. That means he gives you enough of what's real, and then when there's a little jab against Trump or something that comes in there, you usually tend to ignore it. That's how it works with controlled opposition. Now we're going into the double category, food and health, because they're tied together. We're in the health section here. There was a landmark Danish study, and this is a very in-depth study of mask uses and different masks. Now, there's been other studies. There's been studies where they actually tested over 70,000 people. This one was acknowledged worldwide. And very basically is this. They divided the group in two. Half the group wore face masks. Half the group didn't. And they were fairly even in their mannerisms and the kind of work they did and what they did after work and the whole lifestyle thing. What happened was this. No difference. People who got sick. Some wore masks, some didn't wear masks. People who didn't get sick. Half of them didn't wear a mask, half of them did. So in other words, they proved wearing a mask does nothing. That's just proving it. Now, any first-year med student knows that a N95 mask or anything like that is not going to protect you from a virus. Hell, I knew that when I studied microbiology in college. A virus is too small. It goes right through. Okay, some information came out about an enzyme that is proving the ability to kill coronaviruses. And you know this enzyme because you eat it every day. It's called catalase, C-A-T-A-L-A-S-E. It's a naturally occurring enzyme, and it's in food. It's all over the place, and it kills the virus. I'll have the link to all of this stuff up. You can do your own research on it if you want, and it explains a lot of it. Months ago, I talked about something called a cytokine storm, and this is when your immune system goes into overdrive. This stops that. So you can read the information on that. Now, we're getting a lot of hoo-ha now, especially because the communists think that the end is near because now Biden's the president, according to the commies in the United States. So you hear both Pfizer and AstraZeneca saying, oh, yeah, our vaccine's ready, There's minor things here that we got to change in how the vaccine's delivered. So just minor things, not a big deal. The Pfizer's vaccine has to be stored 70 degrees below zero. Unheard of. Why? Because it contains products that break down the instant they go above that, temperature-wise. And let me rephrase this. Not 70 degrees below zero. It's 70 centigrade. In other words, negative 70 centigrade. So in other words, negative 94 Fahrenheit. 94 degrees below zero. They have in I doubt any of you are stupid enough to get this vaccine anyway, but Pfizer's vaccine has something in it. If any of you do the electronic cigarettes, you do that, you vape? Well, there's PEG in there, in your vape liquid. It's polyethylene glycol. It's antifreeze, is what it is. And you have it, you're vaping it. Okay, it's toxic, it's carcinogenic, and the government just hasn't given a damn yet about forcing the vape companies to put a warning sign up. PEG. PEG is in the Pfizer vaccine so it doesn't freeze solid. So the Pfizer vaccine, this is just at the top of the list of the reasons you shouldn't take the Pfizer vaccine. It's got PEG in it. It's an antifreeze. And there's way more to it than that. You're going to have to read the article. Then AstraZeneca, its vaccine it's derived from aborted human fetal tissue. And there's something to do with monkeys in this as well. I'm confused about this one. I didn't really go into the heavy thing, but it's this is disgusting. This is stupid. I don't know which science fiction movie it was, but it showed a big propaganda push for vaccinations, quote unquote. So the complete race was ordered to get in line and get vaccinated. So you come to this room, you walk in the room, they give you a shot, you walk out the back door, two guys catch you as you have a heart attack and die, and they drop you in this giant pit. Can anyone say Soylent Green? The UK government, knowing what's going to be happening, knowing about the massive amount of deaths that will occur with any of these vaccines, any of them, it doesn't matter which one, they're looking for a program that can process the expected flood of COVID-19 vac injuries and side effects. Okay, now we're going to go into the category of food. You've heard the Ice Age Farmer and me talk about food shortages. Okay, and other people have been talking about food shortages. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we were talking about is slight things that were happening in 2020 and a warning what will be happening in 2021. You just think about it. the UN World Food Program came out and it warns, based on the data that we have and the crops that have failed or not even been planted worldwide, there's going to be a famine of biblical proportions next year. They don't know when it's going to start. Any of you out there who think they need to put food together, you're almost too late, but get it together now. I've already seen in normal grocery stores signs saying limit to one, limit to one, limit to two, on everything from papayas, fresh vegetables and fruits, to canned stuff. So pay attention. This is where your intelligence comes in, and your sense of paying attention. Paying attention is a rare art form. People don't do that. Paying attention indicates you putting your attention out there, as opposed to keeping it sucked into yourself and only responding when something impinges on you. Paying attention is being able to be forewarned of what's coming. So you pay attention to what's happening out there, especially in the food. And I've already seen it in bacon. And that, this warning, when I sold food, I told people, I said, look, the warnings you see about shortages are usually about 6 months away. So you get a warning, and it happens about 6 months later, or about 3 months later, depending on what situation is handing that's happening. So a bunch of us on the radio have been warning you people about this food shortage that's occurring. It's now starting to show up. So you need to just pay attention to what's going on, and don't get caught. Don't get caught being short. Now let's get into the liberal psychosis, and this is an area of great disgust to most people. Liberals are basically in a party, political party, in the United States called Democrat. They are examples of some of the most evil, crude, inconsiderate, dangerous, threatening people on earth. In other countries, they would be called the Labor Party. In other countries, they'd be called communists. Other countries, they'd be called socialists. In this country, they're called Democrats. These are people of extreme low personal integrity, questionable business ethics, and they fear everyone around them to the degree that they want everyone around them to be lesser and weaker than they are. The Democrat Party is the spider of evil that's crawled over the face of the United States since the late 1700s. I've had many people say, well, it doesn't matter what political party he is because he's a good guy. No, political parties are expansion of your own personal integrity, ethics, and worldview. Republicans trust people. Republicans like people. Republicans want everybody to succeed, to want everybody to flourish and prosper. Democrats want victims. Democrats want everyone to fail, except the elite, of course, because the elite know better than the normal person, Joe Sixpack. You know, the peons. So they'll do everything they can to make damn sure that you can't achieve success in life, unless they hand groom you for them, their ruling class, like the Abomination was done. They are very, very, very evil people. They will slit your throat if you turn your back on them. Those of you out there who are married and you're Republican and you're married to a Democrat or vice versa, you're a fool, because you will fail. Your relationship will fail. They all do. You can only take so much of their communistic crap before you just blow up. Every person I've ever known who was a Democrat has ended up being a criminal, a liar, cheated on their wives and girlfriends, and stolen things. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But they've all been criminal, either in personal integrity or societal integrity. Do not trust them, period. And remember, there is no such thing as a nonpartisan election. That's fraud that was created by the Democrats for the ignorant to suffer from. So, as I was saying, we're in the liberal psychosis category. Boy Scouts. Remember Boy Scouts? They used to be Boy Scouts. They got almost 93,000 sexual abuse claims, dwarfing the U.S. Catholic Church claims of sexual abuse. The Boy Scouts were taken over in the 70s by sexual perverts, homosexuals. And then because they were emboldened through the 80s and 90s, they allowed all sexual perversions to join the Boy Scouts. They even allow perverts to be scoutmasters. Speaking of perverts, parents are suing a school district for the transgender lessons that they are being forced to have their children learn. Now, this is not just a, and I checked on this, it's not just a school district, it's all over the United States. Any school system in the United States has to teach perversion. They have to eradicate God. They have to eradicate personal morals. They have to make the children hate their parents. And they have to teach them to be tolerant of perversion. They want to do away with the family unit, is the whole thing. And this is all over the place. Did you see any of the latest videos of Antifa out of Portland? Well, now that they got nothing to do with Trump anymore. They're not marching with the word Trump. They got these big signs that says, election no, revolution yes. And the BLM's the same way. Black Lives Matter was a fraudulent organization from the get-go, founded by three lesbians and a pervert, another male something or other. Yeah, and they have nothing to do with black lives. They have to do with communism. Teen Vogue, a magazine, it says, white women have to answer for backing Trump in 2020. Isn't that precious? Isn't that great? They're telling us that we shouldn't be white. Now we're going to jump to the government threat. Did you know the U.S. military is buying location data from all your apps? Yeah. You know when you put an app on your smartphone and it says, need your location, turns on GPS, blah, blah, blah. Like your weather app. Well, the weather app needs to know where you are to figure out what the weather is. So the U.S. government, the military, are buying all of these location apps, the data from these apps. And this data gives them all the information that you have on your phone, like whether you're male or female, how old you are, do you work, these kind of things. Organizations and groups and agencies are getting really, really inventive on how they get information from you. Let's take the Roomba vacuum cleaner. Do you know how they go around the rooms and bump into something, then turn and go away? They have lasers, like little scanners, like shopping scanners. Well, those lasers can be remotely reprogrammed to record sound waves, even though they don't have microphones inside of them. So they can record sound waves. First off, they can be hacked to gather data from, and they can tell the size of your house, right? The floor, the layout, pretty much. And they can hear you. They can record sound waves. And those sound waves, they're not it's not like a microphone listening to you. The sound waves can be recorded, and then they go through a transposing machine, and it'll come out with an idea of what those sounds are. And so this is a Roomba vacuum cleaner doing this. What about the rest of the oddball stuff you got in your house that's hooked somehow electronically, like your router or your television, your smart TV or your smart speaker or your smart toaster or your smart dishwasher or your smart washing machine or your smart dryer or your smart refrigerator or your smart light bulbs now? Holy crap. I want a stupid house. I don't want anything smart. Speaking of stupid, I don't know if you heard about this yet, but the Canadian government is advertising for a programmable hydraulic guillotine for their COVID-19 problem. This is really freaking weird. The Canadian government actually is looking for people to build a programmable hydraulic guillotine. Not one, numerous ones. I don't know how many they're asking for. You can go read the article yourself. Yeah, and speaking of Canada, Tucker, even though he is controlled opposition, a lot of the stuff he says is right on point. And he mentioned something about the Prime Minister of Canada, Trudeau. Trudeau is he's a communist, and he's doing everything he can and help the rest of the communists out there gain full control of the world, not just Canada.
Watch this video from September. You may not have seen it. It wasn't played much in this country. This is the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, speaking to the United Nations.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Oh, this is our chance, says Justin Trudeau. Not our chance to save you from a virus with a 99% survival rate. You'll almost certainly be fine, and they're fully aware of that. This is our chance to impose totally unprecedented social controls on the population in order to bypass democracy and change everything to conform with their weird academic theories that have never been tested in the real world and, by the way, don't actually make sense. This is their chance. Quote, this pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset, end quote. Keep in mind, that's not from QAnon. That is a head of state talking. And he's not alone. Klaus Schwab is the founder of the World Economic Forum. Schwab has written a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. The book isn't really about science or medicine. No. Instead, it describes, quote, what changes will be needed to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward, end quote. What changes is Schwab talking about? We don't know. What we're certain of is that you're going to pay for them, and the people in charge will benefit from them. You can bet on that.
It's not bad enough that the World Economic Forum and all the elites want to redo, reset everything about everything. They want to destroy capitalism 100% because they claim capitalism doesn't work. But now they're warning on another problem that's going to be popping up right away.
A new narrative is rolling out right now, one which describes a new crisis, a crisis which dwarfs in terms of societal and economic impacts COVID-19, for which we shut down the entire economy and locked people in their homes. What could possibly be more socially and economically impactful than that?
I believe that there will be another crisis. It will be more significant. You need to actually start preparing for that now. When we do see this next crisis, it will be faster than what we've seen with COVID. The exponential growth rate will climb, be much steeper. The impact will be greater. And as a result, the economic and social implications will be even more significant.
Even more significant. What is this next crisis that we just heard Jeremy Jurgens, Harvard-educated managing director of the World Economic Forum, describing? Well, now let's hear from Klaus Schwab himself.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
Yes, a cyber pandemic. And before we even talk about what that is, I just want to again appreciate that we just heard two leaders of the World Economic Forum promise that we are going to have a new crisis soon that dwarfs COVID, which has already spelled the end of the world as we know it. So this is something severe, and we need to take notice. This is much bigger than the Project for a New American Century, anticipating a new Pearl Harbor, or the Event 201, expecting a pandemic, or even the Food Chain Reaction Game, describing the food shortages we're seeing now after a pandemic. Each of these events involved lots of multinational companies coming together for a tabletop exercise, outlining the changes they wished to implement anyway, their agenda. And then, when these crises occur, seizing the opportunity to execute on those agendas. That's exactly what's happening here. So the whole premise here, you can see, look, it's the same language template even. Quote, like the pandemic, cybercrime does not respect borders or ideologies. No one organization can fight it alone. The exact copy as from the Food Chain Reaction Game. Because global problems require global solutions, and that's where these globalists walk in with their altruistic sounding philanthropic objectives and then execute on their agendas. The whole premise here for why 2020 is now a cybersecurity, why is this all of a sudden happening is because due to COVID, people are forced to work from home. There's an increased security surface. People don't understand security practices. They're writing down passwords on sticky notes. And who knows? And so as a result, everyone is much more vulnerable in 2020. Now, this is true to some extent, but when you look at the players that were coming together for the 2020 Cyber Polygon event, again, it's just like Event 201 and the Food Chain Reaction Game. It's a tabletop exercise describing how organizations can react to this new cyber crime rich environment of the 2020s, of this new normal. One of the chief people involved in this whole cyber polygon effort was Salesforce. Here is their chief trust officer describing how we really need to take cybersecurity differently in the new normal. Here's a report from Accenture doing the same thing. The Threatscape report from Accenture talks about in the 2020s, no one could have anticipated what's going on. We have unprecedented circumstances opening the door to to innovative cybercrime. Accenture is a huge consulting company, and they're one of the main participants of this Cyber Polygon event. Let's look at the others. See if you detect a pattern here. AIG, Bank of America, Credit Suisse, Equifax, JPMC, Morgan Chase, MasterCard, PayPal, Swift, the International Transactions Clearing Network, UBS, Zurich Insurance Group, a lot of finance and bank players and insurance players there. Also some tech companies like Palo Alto Networks and Salesforce, Amazon Web Services, China Southern Power Grid, Cisco, Cloudflare, HP, Hitachi, Huawei, IBM, Microsoft, Palantir, a surveillance company straight out of CIA funding. And then, of course, BlackRock is in there as well, deep state finance. So you see, we have representatives from a few different areas here, but it seems as if the cybercrime that's being discussed here definitely is finance heavy. And if we're talking, especially the SWIFT network, if we're talking about threats to international transactions, clearings, that affects all financial transactions right now. And so when we hear the rhetoric from Clausi and Jeremy about this is going to be a crisis which dwarfs everything else, it happens ridiculously quickly, and the impacts are off the scale, everyone is affected. And then Klaus goes on to say the power grid goes down, and the banking institutions are all involved. We can see here, banking will be affected. I don't want to get too far into high octane speculation, but between the rhetoric and the participants, I think it's fair to say there is an event scripted in the near future to take down one or both the power grid and the finance. President Trump already passed in 2017 Executive Order 13800, which sought to harden our infrastructure, especially critical infrastructure like the power grid, against cyber attacks, almost as if they have some insight into a potential threat along this vector. And then certainly throughout this last 9 months of the pandemic, it's not just the World Economic Forum that's talking about this. We have been pummeled with predictive programming through the media about the threats to our power grid, particularly. Even most recently from the New York Times, it is the same Russians who hacked the election that are now targeting the power grid and our nuclear plants. I'm just going to let that sit there. I don't think you can make this up at this point. The propaganda is so thick and dense. They're weaving their Russian hacker story right along into this cybersecurity and power grid story. But again, look at the tapestry that has been woven over these last few months. Hackers are targeting the remote workers who keep your lights on. As I said, now that they're having to work remotely and write down passwords willy-nilly, hackers can target them, and this includes utility companies. Cybersecurity, more important than ever due to COVID-19. This was in May. As time goes on, this is from the World Economic Forum, why COVID-19 is making utilities more vulnerable to cyber attacks and what we can do about it. This is back in April. Again, they've been laying the framework, creating that foundation, and establishing the predictive programming. From The Hill in August, officials warn of increasing cyber threats to our critical infrastructure during the pandemic, notably the power grid. Moving on, in September, whether facing a cyber attack or a pandemic, preparation is critical. And we're going to explain why cybersecurity is critical for the utility industry now in the era, the new normal of COVID-19. Even most recently, just at the end of October, cybersecurity is going to be a crucial priority in utility companies' agenda as threats continue to grow amid COVID-19. And then just last week, the U.S. power sector has prevented millions of cyber attacks in 2020, which takes 24/7 commitment. Now they're giving you the sense that these attacks are already happening, that it's constantly happening, and it's only by virtue we're hanging by a thread at any moment. This team of incredibly talented people, they might actually fail, and then we'd be going back to the Stone Age for some amount of time. I just wanted to mention that the media has been planting this seed as well.
Now we're into the category of Trump. I got to tell you, there are things happening this week. It's going to blow your mind. Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller has been put in charge of all the special operation forces in the United States. They report directly to him. There is no chain of command. He's it. So they're all under one person now. Remember Biden had a cancer charity and they got millions of dollars in? Well, turns out they haven't spent a penny on cancer. It's all gone to pay for the people that work for Biden Cancer Charity. Let's see, Biden's transition team is going to be using Hillary Clinton as the UN ambassador, and that's what we want to represent the United States. Do you know in the voting, the they take these polls of different voters, right? And well, here's where Trump voters beat out Biden voters by like 10 to 1 in marriage, church involvement, and employment. The majority of Biden voters aren't employed. And to show you how bad it is in the swamp, I played a clip for you guys last week where with some federal employees were talking about how they can sabotage the government if Trump gets back in. Well, they've become so emboldened that a U.S. diplomat has actually come out and admitted, and he's not admitting, he's just bragging about it, how he lied to Trump about troop levels in Syria. This is somebody who works in the federal government that came out and agreed with everyone around that Trump should be controlled by the federal government, not the other way around. There is a runoff election in Georgia. There are two people running. Well, two Democrats running and two Republicans running. Okay, now, one of the, well, maybe both Democrats, I don't know, I haven't looked at the other one, but the one of them is a black racist. He is a typical, all, us blacks are all victims type of attitude. In fact, this is what he says about everyone, pretty much, who voted for Trump.
And if it is true that a man who has dominated the news and poisoned the discussion for months needs to repent, then it is doubly true that a nation that can produce such a man and make his vitriol go viral needs to repent. I don't, no matter what happens next month, more than a third of the nation that would go along with this is reason to be afraid. America needs to repent for its worship of whiteness.
Kind of get the idea where he's going with that. This is the standard operating procedure of these black racists. And they're all of them are Democrat. They're going after whites. They're emboldened now, and they can say whatever the hell they want to say, and they're going to, and they're going to come after us. There's, you know, I might, people are going to say, oh, he's a fear monger. Yeah, you bet your ass I am. Because if you're not afraid, you won't be watching for it. Now let's get into the election fraud. I have a bunch here. This is only like 1/100th of everything that's out there. Dominion. Dominion is the company that manufactured the voting machines. Dominion engineer told Antifa that he'd made sure Trump wouldn't win. This is a quote. I made sure he wouldn't win. There's a recording, but I'm not going to play it. There's these parts that I'm talking about right now, right? They're all on my show notes page. They're going to be all on the show notes page. Georgia doing a hand recount. And the problem is you have criminals recounting illegal ballots. They're just recounting the same thing is all they're doing. Even though three times now they found votes over, let's see, about 6,000 votes that had been sort of pushed aside in hidden places there. But they went ahead and certified the votes in Georgia. I got some information on the dark web about a server, a Dominion server, that was confiscated by our military in Germany. And I was looking, I could not find any verification in any way, shape, or form when that news popped up. Well, now that verification that a server was confiscated by the U.S. military is now popping up in many different places.
New reports claim the real results of the 2020 U.S. election were found on a computer server that was seized by the U.S. military in Frankfurt, Germany. In a recent tweet, a Virginia congressional candidate shared an electoral map that's allegedly based off of this data from that server. It shows a landslide victory for President Trump with a 410 electoral college vote, including liberal strongholds California and Minnesota. Congressman Louie Gohmert, he says the real election results were stolen through vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting system.
Extremely compelling evidence that could be gleaned from Citel, that's SCYTL. That's a company headquartered in Barcelona, Spain, that was responsible for aggregating all the information from all the machines and whatnot. But now the main headquarters had moved to Frankfurt. That information as to how many votes were switched from Republican for Democrat would have been easily established from the information that Seidel gathered.
Reports say the data gathered by the U.S. military in Frankfurt provides enough evidence to overturn the election and expose the voter fraud committed by the Democrat Party.
There was a press conference the other day. Rudy Giuliani and the other lawyers for the Trump election legal team, they dumped a lot of information into this. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't played on any of the mainstream media, Fox allowed a little of it to be played. One American News played the whole thing. Again, back to One American News is the only independent news source there is left right now in the United States, as far as I know. Those of you who didn't hear this news conference, you have to hear it, because they've aggregated, put together all of the information as much as they could do. Here's the problem, is that the Democrats being so evil, there's a game they play called doxing. This is where they report on social media somebody's address and where their kids go to school and what time they go to bed and all of this personal information with the hopes of scaring them. There's been so far two lawyers that have quit from the Trump legal team because they were threatened. Threatened. The Democrats have the balls to go onto YouTube and threaten Republicans. So these people just dropped out. Now, I guarantee you, you're going to hear this, and then you're going to read the newspapers or listen to the news where they're lying. They're flat lying and saying, oh, they have no evidence whatsoever. Tucker Carlson even came out and said, oh, show me the evidence. There's no evidence. Right. So you're going to give all the affidavits, the hundreds and hundreds of affidavits, to the media so that they can give it to the Democrats and then have everybody doxed and threatened? No, they're not going to do that. But you have to hear this. Now, I had to edit this down. This thing was 2 hours and 30 minutes. There was a bunch of time in the beginning where the reporters were just milling around and time at the end and some nonsensical crap in between. And then they were taking questions from some of the mainstream media. The media were mostly nice, but you had a lot of problems with sound and a lot of problems with some real jerks out there in the media, especially CNN. I edited this down massively.
I guess the best way to describe this is when we began our representation of the president, we certainly were confronted with a very anomalous set of results. The president way ahead on election night, 700,000 or 800,000 in Pennsylvania. Somehow he lost Pennsylvania. We have statisticians willing to testify that that's almost statistically impossible to have happened in the period of time that it happened. But of course, that's just speculation. As we started investigating, both our investigations and the very patriotic and brave American citizens that have come forward are extraordinary. Extraordinary number of people, extraordinary number of witnesses. And what emerged very quickly is there's not a singular voter fraud in one state. This pattern repeats itself in a number of states. Almost exactly the same pattern, which to any experienced investigator, prosecutor, would suggest that there was a plan from a centralized place to execute these various acts of voter fraud, specifically focused on big cities, and specifically focused on, as you would imagine, big cities controlled by Democrats, and particularly focused on big cities that have a long history of corruption. The number of voter fraud cases in Philadelphia could fill a library. Just a few weeks ago, there was a conviction for voter fraud, and 1-2 weeks before that, I've often said, I guess sarcastically, but it's true, the only surprise I would have found in this is if Philadelphia hadn't cheated in this election, because for the last 60 years, they've cheated in just about every single election. You could say the same thing about Detroit. Each one of these cities are cities that are controlled by Democrats, which means they can get away with anything they want to do. It means they have a certain degree of control over, certainly control the election board completely, and they control law enforcement. And unfortunately, they have some friendly judges that will issue ridiculously irrational opinions just to come out in their favor. So let's start with the specifics. Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, the margin of victory now for Biden, which is not a victory, it's a fraud, is 69,140 votes. The reality is that we are now at a count of 682,770 ballots, for which we have affidavits that there was no inspection of that ballot at the time that it was entered in the vote. It was a mail ballot. Mail ballots are particularly prone to fraud. We were warned about that by Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, and Secretary Baker in a report about a dozen years ago, in which they said that mail balloting is particularly susceptible of fraud, that we should very carefully consider ever doing it, and that it can be taken advantage of. Justice Souter warned us of the same thing in a comment in an election law case. And even the New York Times wrote articles about how dangerous mail-in voting was. This is the first time we ever did it en masse, and I think we proved that all three are prophets. It's not only susceptible to fraud, it is easily susceptible to fraud, particularly if you have a plan or scheme which sounds eerily similar to what Joe Biden told us a few days before the election, that he had the best voter fraud team in the world. Well, they were good. I don't know that they were that good because they made significant mistakes, like all crooks do, and we caught them. One of them was pushing out Republican inspectors. Every state, almost every civilized country, even Tanzania and places you wouldn't think of, have rules about inspectors, particularly for mail-in ballots. And why particularly for mail-in ballots? Because they can more easily be defrauded, and you can't check on it. People who have never done a mail-in ballot, I'm going to show you why it's so easy. Well, you fill out an envelope like this. You put your, usually in New York, it would be your assembly district and the precinct in which you're voting. You fill out your name and your address, and you sign it. You then use an inner envelope, and you put the ballot inside the inner envelope. You seal it all, and you send it in. When it's being counted, almost invariably in the United States, up until the mass cheating that went on in this election, a Republican and a Democrat inspector, as well as others, if there are other parties, is allowed to watch the unsealing of this ballot. Used to go on all over America when we conducted honest elections. Because the only time you can ever find out if it's a fraudulent ballot is when it is looked at. The minute you approve this, it's thrown away, gone for eternity. The only thing left is the vote. That could have been Mickey Mouse. That could have been a dead person. That could have been not filled out properly. That could have been the same person 30 times. That could have been, and all these things have happened, by the way, that could have been nothing filled out. We never know. So, for example, the recount being done in Georgia will tell us nothing because these fraudulent ballots will just be counted again because they wouldn't supply the signatures to match the ballots. So it means nothing to have counted these ballots because, for example, in Pennsylvania, where we have probably our most precise evidence, 682,770 of these ballots were cast, put in, and they weren't inspected, which renders them ballots that are null and void, cannot be counted, have to be removed from the vote. Why? For several reasons, not the least of which is that was basically only one of two places in the state where it was done. So in the other parts of the state, there was a legitimate inspection of the ballots. So if you have two different standards in different parts of the state, one favoring one part of the state, the other disfavoring the other part of the state, that's a classic violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution, Bush v. Gore being the most recent case that teaches that. That's not the only fraud that went on in Pennsylvania. All of the other frauds carried out in the other states by the Democrat bosses happened there as well. For example, if you made a mistake in that ballot and you lived in Philadelphia or in Pittsburgh, you were allowed to fix the mistake. But if you lived in the what would be considered more Republican or Trump parts of the state, you were given no such right. One of our plaintiffs, Mr. Henry, cast a absentee ballot, and he failed to put it in the secure envelope inside. He just put it in open, naked. That ballot was cast aside because it was invalid, because that breaks the privacy of the vote. In Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia, if they noticed that there wasn't an inner envelope, they'd contact the voter and allow him to vote again. Or if he didn't fill it out completely, or if he made a mistake and didn't sign his full name, he was allowed to cure it. There is no such provision under the law of Pennsylvania. The Democrat Secretary of State made that up in order to maximize the votes in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and to minimize the votes in the other parts of the state. Clearly illegal, clearly voter fraud, easily provable, hundreds of witnesses, maybe thousands. We have, to give you another example, we have 17,000 provisional ballots cast in Pittsburgh. Do you know what a provisional ballot is? Provisional ballot usually happens this way, and about 15 of the 17,000 happen this way. You walk in and you say, I'm here to vote today. Oh, Mr. Giuliani, you already voted. I did. I don't remember voting. Oh, yes, yes, you cast an absentee ballot. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. So why does that happen 17,000 times in Pittsburgh? People walked in thinking they, actually 15,000 to be precise. Why did it happen 15,000 times that people in Pittsburgh walked in to vote and they had already voted according to the Democrat election machine. Did they forget? That many people with bad memories in Pittsburgh? Or is the following correct? That as witnesses will testify, they were instructed by the Democrat bosses, when they had a ballot in which there was no one registered, just assign it to somebody. Just assign it to Rudy Giuliani. And maybe Rudy Giuliani won't show up to vote. And if he does show up to vote, we'll give him a provisional ballot. That is what we call circumstantial evidence of the fraud, the direct evidence of the fraud of the people who will testify that, in fact, that's what happened to them, as well as the 50 to 60 witnesses we have for the way they were treated and not allowed to inspect the ballots. They weren't just not allowed to do it. They were pushed. A few cases, they were assaulted. In all cases, they were put in a corral so far away, probably the closest they got is from here to the back of that room. They couldn't see a thing. Now, I don't know. You're going to tell me that 60 people are lying? They didn't just tell me this. They swore under penalty of perjury, which is something no Democrats ever done. You don't even ask Biden about this. You don't put him under penalty of perjury. He doesn't even get asked questions about it. He doesn't get asked questions about all the evidence of the crimes that he committed. These people are under penalty of perjury. Their names are on an affidavit. They swear that they weren't allowed to carry out their function as inspectors. And it's not just a technical thing. There's a reason they did it. Why would you not allow people to carry out the function they've been allowed to do for 50 years, 60 years? Why wouldn't you allow inspections of those ballots? Because you knew you were going to use those ballots to catch Biden up. And you had a big road ahead of you. You had to catch him up for 700,000 to 800,000 votes that he was behind. And the only way you were going to do it was with the mail-in ballots. You couldn't have a Democrat and Republican inspector around. They don't even have Democrats watching it, because they'd be afraid that there'd be honest Democrats who would say, you're cheating. So that takes us to Michigan, where there was an honest Democrat who said they were cheating. And we'll show you her affidavit, because I know you keep reporting falsely that we have no evidence, that we have no specific acts of fraud. That's because the coverage of this has been almost as dishonest as the scheme itself. The American people are entitled to know this. You don't have a right to keep it from them. You don't have a right to lie about it. And you are. I mean, you don't report to them that a citizen of this country, a very fine woman, who is willing to allow me to give you her name. I can't give you all these affidavits, because if I do, these people will be harassed. They'll be threatened. They may lose their job. They will lose their friends. We've lost lawyers in this case because they've been threatened. We've had lawyers that need protection. What's going on in this country is horrible, and the censorship that you're imposing is making it worse. But Jessie Jacob is an adult citizen and a resident of the state of Michigan. She's been an employee of the city of Detroit for decades. She was assigned to voting duties in September, and she was trained by the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan. She was basically trained to cheat. She said that I was instructed by my supervisor to adjust the mailing date of these absentee ballot packages to be dated earlier than when they were actually sent in. The supervisor made that announcement for all workers to engage in that fraudulent practice. That's not me saying that. That's this American citizen saying that under oath. I don't know. Maybe you could say she's lying, but you can't say there's no evidence. This is what we call evidence. This is direct evidence, not circumstantial. I tried many, many cases, as did all my colleagues here. You put a witness on a witness stand, the witness is testifying to their own knowledge. This witness goes on the witness stand and she will say, I was told to adjust the date on the absentee ballots. I witnessed election workers and employees going over to the voting booths with voters in order to watch them vote and coach them for whom to vote. Completely illegal. She will testify to that. I don't know. Biden's people can cross-examine her. But you can't just throw it away. Gee, there's no evidence. Next time you say that, you'll be lying. Because there is evidence. This, oh, by the way, this is public. You can all get it. It's attached to the complaint in Costantino versus the city of Detroit. Then she was instructed by my supervisor not to ask for a driver's license or any photo ID when a person was trying to vote. Don't ask for identification. Why would you not ask for identification? Because you knew that a lot of people not entitled to vote were going to come in and early vote. because you knew that illegal immigrants were going to be allowed to vote. You knew, if you lived in Philadelphia, unless you do not, that's an Italian expression for stupid, unless you're stupid, you knew that a lot of people were coming over from Camden to vote. They do every year. Happens all the time in Philly. It's about as frequent as getting beaten up at a Philadelphia Eagle basketball football game. Happens all the time. All the time. And is allowed to happen because it is a Democrat, corrupt city, and has been for years, many, many years. And they carried it out in places they could get away with it. They didn't carry it out in neutral places. They didn't carry it out in Republican places. They didn't carry it out where the law is respected. They carried it out in a corrupt city where the district attorney releases criminals en masse, which is why it has so much crime. She also said, I observed a large number of people who came to the satellite location to vote in person, but they had already applied for and submitted an absentee ballot. So she observed a lot of people voting twice. I was instructed not to invalidate any ballots and not to look for any deficiency in the ballots. Why would you do that? Because you're cheating. On purpose cheating. Intentionally cheating. You're cheating as a institution. This is an instruction from the election commissioner or the employer to the worker. Don't look for any deficiencies in the ballots. I was instructed not to look at any of the signatures on the absentee ballots. If she was instructed not to look for any of the signatures on the absentee ballots, why the heck do you sign it in the first place? In order to identify it. She was instructed not to do that because many of the absentee ballots were fraudulent, and they knew that, and they didn't want to have a count of that. On November 4, 2020, I was instructed to improperly predate the absentee ballots when the receipt date was actually after November 3rd, 2020. Now, this is really significant because Justice Alito of the Supreme Court instructed Pennsylvania that any ballot that comes in after 8 o'clock on November 3rd, 2020 had to be put aside and not opened because there's a question as to its legality and its constitutionality. What she's telling you is that they blatantly disregarded that order, that they took ballots that were marked the 4th and the 5th and the 6th and they marked it down for the 3rd in blatant disregard of the order of the United States Supreme Court. I don't know if she's a Democrat or Republican. I assume if she's working for the city of Detroit, that she's a Democrat. I assume, but I may be wrong. She's a citizen. I've never met her, never coached her. And I'd like you to note that it's signed under penalties of perjury. We have 100 more of these. I can't show them to you because those people don't want to be harassed. They don't want to have their lives torn apart by the goons on the other side. We don't do that to them. They've done that to a lot of our people. They've done it for 4 years. And it's outrageous that it's tolerated. And it's tolerated because you condone it in the press. And you don't cover it. And you don't condemn it. And it shouldn't happen to a Republican or a Democrat. A lawyer shouldn't have to withdraw from a case because he's representing the President of the United States. There are many more affidavits here. I'd like to read them all to you, but I don't have the time. You should have had the time and energy to go look for them. That's your job. Like it's my job to defend the president and to represent the president. It's your job to read these things and not falsely report that there's no evidence. Do you know how many affidavits we have in the Michigan case? 220 affidavits. They're not all public, but 8 of them are. 4 affiants here. Those are people who give affidavits. Report an incident that under any other circumstances would have been on the front page of all your newspapers if it didn't involve the hatred that you have, irrational, pathological hatred that you have for the president. What they swear to is that at 4:30 in the morning, a truck pulled up to the Detroit Center where they were counting ballots. The people thought it was food, so they all ran to the truck. It wasn't food. It was thousands and thousands of ballots. And the ballots were in garbage cans, they were in paper bags, they were in cardboard boxes, and they were taken into the center. They were put on a number of tables. At that time, they thought all the Republican inspectors had left, all but two had, and an employee of Dominion, who we will address a little bit later, Dominion. And here's what they jointly swear to, that every ballot that they could see, every thing they could hear, these were ballots for Biden. When they saw a ballot, these were ballots only for Biden, meaning there was no down ticket, just Biden. Many of them didn't have anything on the outer envelope because these ballots were produced very quickly, very swiftly, and they're estimated to be a minimum of 60,000, maximum of 100,000. Many of them were triple counted, which means they were put into the counting machine this way. Once, twice, three times. I didn't see that. I don't know that, but for the fact that three American citizens are willing to swear to it. And we're not going to let them go to court and do that? We're going to let this election go by when there are, in this case, 60 witnesses that can prove what I'm saying to you and other acts of fraud in Michigan? I mean, what's happened to this country if we're going to let that happen? What happened to this country if we're going to cover that up? We let Al Gore carry on an election dispute longer than this one has been going on for one state and for Chad's. This happened in Pennsylvania. It happened in Michigan. Michigan probably right now, if I count up the affidavits, just one case alone, Trump v. Benson, a case that we dismissed today because that case was attempting to get the Wayne County Board of Supervisors to decertify. Well, they did. They decertified. That case has 100 affidavits, and the 100 affidavits show essentially what I've talked to you about. Counting ballots improperly, counting them three and four times, having people vote three and four times, changing and backdating ballots to the point of at least 300,000 illegitimate ballots that we can specifically identify. The margin in Michigan was 146,121, and these ballots were all cast basically in Detroit, that Biden won 80-20. So you see a change as a result of the election in Michigan, if you take out Wayne County. So it's a very significant case. That is being raised in the case of Costantino versus the city of Detroit. Not by us, but by an individual plaintiff. We are helping and assisting in that case, however. And you can find all the affidavits that you want filed in that case. And you can find out they're not just allegations, they're allegations supported by sworn testimony, which is a lot better than Joe Biden has ever done on anything. He doesn't answer questions, much less give you sworn affidavits. Wisconsin. Wisconsin had a very small margin, 20,544 last time I looked. In Wisconsin, without going into great detail, very similar plan, Republicans shut out in the city of Milwaukee and also in Madison. Republicans almost uniformly shut out from the absentee process, not allowed to inspect, not allowed to look at the ballots. We have in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin a much stricter law. Wisconsin doesn't allow mail-in ballots. They didn't buy into the big mail-in ballot situation. Wisconsin, when you look at their constitution, almost seems to not like absentee ballots. They state it's not a right, a privilege. And they have very, very strict procedures. And the strict procedure says that you can't be given an absentee ballot. You have to personally apply for it. It's illegal, basically, to solicit a vote. And they have actually many reasons for it that probably goes back to their progressive days. When I say progressive, I mean late 19th century, early 20th century progressive, when that really meant progressive, not retrogressive. So there are 60,000 ballots in Milwaukee County and 40,000 ballots in Madison that, as far as we can tell, and this is why we're auditing, because we have very good information that the numbers are going to come out about here, that don't have applications. Under the law of the state of Wisconsin, already decided, if there's no application for an absentee ballot, the absentee ballot is thrown away. This all happened in two places in Wisconsin. Didn't happen in northern Wisconsin. Didn't happen in Republican Wisconsin. Didn't happen in neutral Wisconsin, where there are an equal number of Republicans and Democrats. It happened in a place where the vote was 75-80% for the Democrat. You take away any number of those, and that 20,000 lead disappears. In other words, if you count the lawful votes, Trump won Wisconsin. by a good margin. Indeed, if you count the lawful votes in Pennsylvania, he won it by about 300,000 votes. Also, in the lawsuit filed in Wisconsin, which is really a petition because of their procedures, there were no inspectors provided for the count of the illegal ballots. There were numerous backdated ballots. We're just counting them now, run over into the thousands. And there were many precincts in which there was an overvote. Now, let me explain to you what an overvote is, which is something you should have explained to the American people, because it's about the clearest circumstantial evidence of massive fraud that you can have. An overvote is if 200% of the people who are registered in a district vote. Think about that. 200% of the registered voters in a district vote. What does that mean? That means somebody voted twice. That means somebody who's not entitled to vote voted, an illegal, a person from another city or state, a person who's not registered. But what it means is that those are illegitimate votes. You don't have an overvote of 200% or 300%. You don't have an overvote of 100%. Most precincts don't have 100% turnout. In fact, classically, it's considered to be an overvote if you go over 80%. Well, in Michigan and Wisconsin, we have overvotes in numerous precincts of 150%, 200%, and 300%. One of the reasons why the two Republicans did not certify in Wayne County, Michigan, is because the overvote was so high, monstrously high, in about two-thirds of the precincts in the city of Detroit, which means magically two and three times the number of registered voters turned out to vote. In fact, we have precincts in which two times the number of people who live there, including children, voted. That's absurd. The frustration of this is, what I'm describing to you is a massive fraud. It isn't a little teeny one. It isn't, 100 votes switched here or there. Georgia, we're about to file a major lawsuit in Georgia. I don't need to go through it. Virtually the same things I've told you before. In the city of Atlanta, Republicans were not allowed to watch the absentee mail-in ballot process. Inspections completely cast aside. And we have numerous double voters. We have numerous out-of-state voters. And we have specific evidence of intimidation and changes of vote. That'll all be in the lawsuit that comes out tomorrow. Arizona is a state that we're looking at very, very carefully. I would say we're probably going to bring a lawsuit in Arizona. More than probably, I think we are going to bring a lawsuit in Arizona. We're still collecting that evidence. And the state that we're looking at that would surprise you is we have very, very significant amount of fraud allegations in the state of New Mexico. We have a significant number of allegations in the state of Virginia. I don't know yet whether the number in Virginia will reach the number that can turn the election. In the states that we have indicated in red, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona, we more than double the number of votes needed to overturn the election in terms of provable illegal ballots. All you got to do to find out if I'm misleading you at all is to look at the lawsuits. Look what's alleged. Look at the affidavits. Maybe we can supply more affidavits. In order to do it, I have to get permission from the people. But in the materials I have here, there are at least 10 that come from citizens. We have 1,000 at least. And we're getting more every day. And there are other aspects of this fraud that at this point, I really can't reveal. This is really enough. It's enough to overturn any election. It's disgraceful what happened. And I'll conclude by asking you to just think about this for a minute. What happened on the morning of November 3rd when they were going to count this new kind of ballot, this mail-in ballot? Did every Democrat leader in Pennsylvania and in Michigan and in Wisconsin and in Georgia and in Nevada and in Arizona, they all wake up and all separately have the same idea? Did they all separately have the idea that we're going to put Republican inspectors in pens? We're not going to let them look at mail-in or absentee ballots. They all independently come up with that, like just by coincidence. They say, hey, we're going to put the Republicans in pens and corrals. We're going to do it in Pittsburgh. We're going to do it in Philadelphia. We're going to do it in Detroit. We're going to do it in Milwaukee. We're going to do it in Las Vegas. We're going to do it in Phoenix. What did I miss? Oh, we're going to do it in Atlanta. Or isn't the logical conclusion that I think any jury would accept after they heard this evidence that somebody had this plan? Maybe that was always the plan, to do these this very, very questionable form of voting, which has been criticized by President Carter, by Secretary Baker, by most experts on election reform. I think the logical conclusion is this is a common plan, a common scheme. It comes right directly from the Democrat Party, and it comes from the candidate, clearly. That's the reason why Hillary Clinton said, don't concede, even if you're losing. That's the reason we had a Freudian slip by the candidate. And he said he had the best voter fraud team in the country. That's the reason why he probably didn't have to go out and campaign. He had to have known what they were going to do. This had to be planned in advance. I'm kind of checking, did they go, you know, to the same contractor to get the corrals to put the Republicans in? And this is a disgraceful thing that was done in this country. Probably not much more disgraceful than the things these people did in office, which you didn't and don't bother to cover and you conceal from the American people. But we let this happen. You know, we use largely a Venezuelan voting machine, in essence, to count our vote. We let this happen, we're going to become Venezuela. We cannot let this happen to us. We cannot allow these crooks, because that's what they are, to steal an election from the American people. They elected Donald Trump. They didn't elect Joe Biden. Joe Biden is in the lead because of the fraudulent ballots, the illegal ballot that were produced and that were allowed to be used after the election was over. Give us an opportunity to prove it in court, and we will. Now I'm going to ask Sidney Powell to describe to you what we can describe about another totally outrageous situation. I don't think most Americans know that our ballots get calculated, many of them outside the United States, and are completely open to hacking, completely open to change, and it's being done by a company that specializes in voter fraud. I'll let Sidney describe that to you.
What we are really dealing with here and uncovering more by the day is the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China in the interference with our elections here in the United States. The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out. We have one very strong witness who has explained how it all works. His affidavit is attached to the pleadings of Lynn Wood in the lawsuit he filed in Georgia. It is a stunning, detailed affidavit because he was with Hugo Chavez while he was being briefed on how it worked. He was with Hugo Chavez when he saw it operate to make sure the election came out his way. That was the express purpose for creating this software. He has seen it operate, and as soon as he saw the multiple states shut down the voting on the night of the election, he knew the same thing was happening here, that was what had gone on. Now, the software itself was created with so many variables and so many back doors that can be hooked up to the internet or a thumb drive stuck in it or whatever. But one of its most characteristic features is its ability to flip votes. It can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden, which we might never have uncovered had the votes for President Trump not been so overwhelming in so many of these states that it broke the algorithm that had been plugged into the system. And that's what caused them to have to shut down in the states they shut down in. That's when they came in the back door with all the mail-in ballots, many of which they had actually fabricated. Some were on pristine paper with identically matching perfect circle dots for Mr. Biden. Others were shoved in batches. They're always put in a certain number of batches, and people would rerun the same batch. This corresponds to our statistical evidence that shows incredible spikes in the vote counts at particular times, and that corresponds to eyewitness testimony of numerous people who have come forward and said they saw the ballots come in the back door at that time. Notably, the Dominion executives are nowhere to be found now. They are moving their offices overnight. to different places. Their office in Toronto was shared with one of the Soros entities, one of the leaders of the Dominion Project in overall is Lord Malik Brown, Mr. Soros' number two person in the UK and part of his organization. There are ties of the Dominion leadership to the Clinton Foundation and to other known politicians in this country. Just to give you a brief description of how this worked, I'm going to quote from a letter that was written, and I will read that to make sure I get the quotes right. This person was objecting to the United States acquisition of Sequoia voting systems by Smartmatic, a foreign-owned company. I believe this transaction raises exactly the sort of foreign ownership issues that CFIUS is best positioned to examine for national security purposes. It's undisputed that Smartmatic is foreign-owned and it has acquired Sequoia. They keep changing the names as they go along. Different times when a problem comes up, they just create another corporation and call it a different name. But it was a voting machine company doing business in the United States. Sequoia voting machines were used to record over 125 million votes during the 2004 presidential election in the United States. Smartmatic now acknowledges that Antonio Mujica, a Venezuelan businessman, has controlling interest in Smartmatic, but the company has not revealed who all the Smartmatic owners are. According to the press, Smartmatic's owners are hidden through a web of offshore private entities, and that is, in fact, true. Smartmatic has been associated with the Venezuelan government led by Hugo Chavez, which is openly hostile to the United States, and of course, as we all know, communistic and really brutalizing its own people. The system has been continued there by Mr. Maduro and ensured his election. Smartmatic's possible connection to the Venezuelan government poses a potential national security concern in the context of its acquisition of Sequoia, because electronic voting machines are susceptible to tampering, and insiders are in the best position to engage in such tampering. This letter expresses concern of the Chicago 2006 primary election, and it ends by saying the products and services that are of Venezuelan origin and evaluate Smartmatic's ownership to determine who could have influence and control over these and other Sequoia products and services are important to the national security of the United States. This letter was written to Hank Paulson on October 6, 2006, by Congresswoman Carolyn B. Maloney. Senators Klobuchar and Warren have raised these concerns as recently as December 2019. Why our government has not taken them seriously is beyond my comprehension, unless they have some of the three-letter agencies have used them themselves in other parts of the world. We know that the technology was exported to affect an election in Argentina. That's admitted by our friend who wrote the affidavit about Hugo Chavez and his interest in Smartmatic. Again, in 2006, Carolyn Maloney wrote the Honorable John Snow, the Secretary of the Treasury, about the issues. Speaking of Smartmatic's leadership, one of the Smartmatic patent holders, Eric Coomer, I believe his name is on the web as being recorded in a conversation with Antifa members saying that he had the election rigged for Mr. Biden. Nothing to worry about here, and they were going to F Trump. His social media is filled with hatred for the president and for the United States of America as a whole, as are the social media accounts of many other Smartmatic people. There has been widespread use of this. Dominion itself is utilized in 2,000 jurisdictions in 30 states. It has been uncertifiable in multiple states who realized all the problems that it had, including Texas. Experts have described it across the board, from a Princeton group of three professors to experts that we have talked to about its end-user vulnerabilities. People can admittedly go in and change whatever they want. They can set the ratio of votes from one thing to another. They can say that a Biden vote counts as 1.25 and a Trump vote counts as 0.75. And those may be the numbers that were actually used here. It's not just the swing states that were affected. The algorithm was likely run across the country to affect the entire election. Like I said, we only discovered it this year because of the overwhelming number of votes for President Trump in the swing states that caused the machines to have to shut down for them to backfill for adding votes. We have evidence of different numbers of votes being injected into the system, the same identical, unique six-digit number multiple times in at least two states that we've analyzed so far, and I'm talking about like 341,542 votes for Biden and 100,012 for Trump. There's no explanation, no logical explanation for the same numbers being injected 20 minutes apart into the machine. The software manual itself, you can download it from the internet, and I would encourage you all to read it because it specifically advertises some of these things as features of the system. Why it was ever allowed into this country is beyond my comprehension, and why nobody has dealt with it is absolutely appalling. The machines were easily accessible to hackers. There's a video on the net that it will explain to you how a kid with a cell phone can hack one of these voting machines. There's been no oversight of Dominion or its software. Workers in each county were trained by Dominion, but there's no evidence of any monitoring otherwise. We have testimony of different workers admitting that they were trained how to dispose of Trump votes and add to Biden votes. The software has a feature pursuant to which you can drag and drop any number of batches of votes to the candidate of your choice or simply throw them away. So we have mathematical evidence in a number of states of massive quantities of Trump votes being trashed, just simply put in the trash like you would on your computer with any file, and Biden votes being injected. That's addition to the flipping. I mean, it really happens in two ways. There's an algorithm that runs that automatically flips all the votes, and then each operator has the ability to go in, override settings, they can ignore a signature, they can ignore the top line of the ballot, they can go down ballot and select who they want to change the results for. The gentleman who founded Smartmatic, there's video of him on the internet explaining that, yes, in at least one occasion he admits they changed a million votes with no problem. Many of the jurisdictions that have had this problem might not have known of the issues, but many did. And I think a full-scale criminal investigation needs to be undertaken immediately by the Department of Justice and by every state's equivalent, Attorney General's Office or State Investigatory Unit, because there's evidence of different benefits being provided to the people who spent $100 million of taxpayer money at the last minute for their state to get the Dominion voting systems put in time for this election in different ways. There's one person that a lawyer told me got, quote, election insurance, meaning that he would be able to make sure he was elected. I'm sure they explained that feature in detail to many people who expressed interest in putting this voting system in. Texas denied certification of the Dominion system in 2019. But there are no doubt issues with the software that Texas did use, unbeknownst to Texas, I would imagine, since they went to great trouble to examine the Dominion systems and reject them. But other software, the source code that does the alterations is embedded, we have been told, in the source code all across the country in all the voting machines. There's no doubt it has been used to alter elections in other countries. We know specifically that Venezuela exported it for that purpose to Argentina and other Latin American companies to make sure that the corrupt rulers who were willing to pay the highest price for being in office were allowed to rig their elections. This is stunning, heartbreaking, infuriating, and the most unpatriotic acts I can even imagine for people in this country to have participated in any way, shape, or form. And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
Excuse me, that we're not out to the questions at this point. So excuse me, we're not at the questions at this point. My name is Jenna Ellis, and I'm the senior legal advisor to the Trump campaign, and I'd like to just explain now where we've been and where we're at and what you can expect from this process. So what you have heard, I'm sure, in the fake newspapers tomorrow will be one of two things. Either there was not sufficient evidence that we've presented, or we spoke too long. Okay, so what you've heard now is basically an opening statement. This is what you can expect to see when we get to court to actually have a full trial on the merits, to actually show this evidence in court and prove our case. This is not a Law and Order episode where everything is neatly wrapped up in 60 minutes. For those of you who are here in this room or have maybe tuned out in other networks, clearly you've never been court reporters. Trials take time. Putting on evidence takes time. This is basically an opening statement so the American people can understand what the networks have been hiding and what they refuse to cover, because all of your fake news headlines are dancing around the merits of this case and are trying to delegitimize what we are doing here. Let me be very clear that our objective is to make sure to preserve and protect election integrity. President Trump has been saying from day one that this is about maintaining free and fair elections in this country. It is not about overturning an outcome. It is about making sure that election integrity is preserved, and every American should want that. If every American is not on board with that, you have to ask yourself why. And if your fake news network is not covering this or allowing you to cover it fairly and accurately, you should ask yourself why. This is absolutely a legitimate legal basis. We have been asked to provide an entire case that generally would take years in civil litigation. I've been a prosecutor. I have tried cases with far simpler facts. One thing happened in a matter of minutes, and it still takes days. And we go through a jury process. This is the court of public opinion right now. We are not trying our case in the court of public opinion, because if we were, we would get unbiased jurors. I would strike 99% of you from the jury, and I would be allowed to because of the fake news coverage you provide. You're not unbiased jurors. And until you step out of your role as a journalist and actually go into a courtroom and you are a judge on a bench that has sworn an oath to be unbiased in our separation of powers, then your opinion does not matter. The facts matter. The truth matters. And if you are fair reporters, you will cover that fairly and appropriately, and you will allow coverage of our media team here and our legal team. That is absolutely shocking that all you cover are around the margins. And I've seen all of you taking pictures right now, and I can anticipate what your headlines are going to be. If you are not willing to talk about the evidence that has been presented, then that is absolutely unacceptable for journalistic standards. This is an opening statement. This is something where we have told you what the evidence will show, and we have given you a brief description. That happens in a courtroom all the time, where that's not the fact-finding process. That is just an overview. That is what we have given you today because the American people deserve to know what we have uncovered in the last couple of weeks. Remember, this is such a short time frame, and this is an elite strike force team that is working on behalf of the president and the campaign to make sure that our Constitution is protected. We are a nation of rules, not a nation of rulers. There is not someone that just gets to pick who the next president is outside the will of the American people. And that is our task, because when we talk about voter fraud, it's actually election official fraud. That cannot stand. The Constitution requires that the state legislatures are the ones that make election law. It still has to go by the U.S. Constitution. But what has happened in this case is that state and local level officials, and all the way up, have changed the rules. That's what the Democrats do. If they don't like the rules, they change them. And they change them at the last minute. They manipulate them. They want to tear down our American system. Our founders were so brilliant that they anticipated this, that there would be corruption, there would be foreign influence, there would be attempts to manipulate the outcome of the election, especially with who they called our chief magistrate. I would encourage all of you to go home and actually read Alexander Hamilton's Federalist 68 and see what he described as an advocacy position to adopt and ratify the Electoral College and the process by which we select our president. We select our president through the Electoral College not because it disenfranchises voters, but because it is a security mechanism for exactly the type of corruption that we are uncovering. And every American should be grateful and thankful that our founders had the foresight to put in those protections and provisions to make sure that your legitimate legal vote is not disenfranchised. That is what we are advocating for. We want to make sure to protect election integrity, and your president, President Trump, we are so proud that he is in this fight because he understands that when he swore his oath of office, he swore an oath to uphold and defend the United States Constitution. That is what he is doing, and that is what we are doing. We are confident that through this multiple pathway to victory, we will get to the actual outcome that the evidence shows. But this is not about overturning an election on our part. It's about making sure that we protect and preserve free and fair elections for all future American elections. If the United States caves to corruption or this type of election integrity disaster, then no election will be secure from here on out. And we all need to be keenly aware of that. We are the representatives here that are standing in this gap and defending President Trump and defending you, the American people, at the end of the day. This is ultimately about the United States of America. And we want to make sure to protect and defend that. And as my colleagues have said, we will not back down. We won't be intimidated. President Trump will not be intimidated. You, the American people, should not be intimidated. You, the press, should cover this fairly and should know that this matters to election integrity and it matters to the future of our nation. So we have given you an overview, but recognize this is not a court of law. We will get there, and we have time, and we have constitutional provisions that will step in when we show the corruption and the irredeemably challenged and overturned votes that are absolutely corrupt in all of these counties. It is irredeemably compromised. We will show that. But you have to give us that opportunity. This has been just our opening statement, and we have an opportunity to get there, and we have time, and we will do that. This is the United States of America, and we stand proudly for President Donald J. Trump. Thank you.
The world is watching this. I have gotten multiple emails from people in other countries who watch the same pattern happen there. We have witnessed testimony that the same things were done in those countries as this was exported from Venezuela and by Maduro and by Mr. Chavez and by Cuba. And of course, we know China also has a substantial presence in Venezuela and substantial interest in making sure that President Trump does not continue in office. This is the consummate foreign interference in our election in the most criminal way you can possibly imagine. It must be shut down. We know, for example, that one of the Dominion's highest level employees or officers went to Detroit himself to man the Detroit Operations Center, where he could watch the votes coming in real time and decide what file folder in the system to put those votes into. That's why you see massive spikes after hours when people were told that all the votes were in and all the votes were counted. Many Dominion employees have already reached out to us to tell us the truth. They are Americans who want to ensure election integrity like we do. I would encourage every Dominion or Smartmatic employee who is fed up with the corruption in this country to come forward as soon as possible, because these are serious federal offenses that I am confident the Department of Justice will be in pursuit of in very short order if they are not already.
All right. A few questions?
Yeah. Mayor Giuliani, this sort of reminds us 30 years ago, they had federal judges doing consent decrees over elections. So you had a federal judge overseeing the election booth, you know, this is old Chicago days. Will you be asking that in Georgia where you have two Senate races?
I can't say what's going to be done about it. I really can't give you an opinion on that. I think, obviously, every election official should learn something from this and be very, very careful with the next election. I know this is a lot of information that we've given you, probably because we're frustrated with what we keep reading and hearing in the censored press, which is that we have no evidence, we have no specifics, we have no backup of what we're saying, and you largely ignore the affidavits that are filed. Whether you agree or disagree with an affidavit, it's evidence. You can't say, I mean, you're just lying to the American people when you say there's no evidence. Sidney was giving you information that come from affidavits from other people that are given under oath. I was explaining things to you from affidavits that come from other people, American citizens, who swear under oath that they saw 100,000 ballots come in and that they were all for Joe Biden. And that I should point out, now that Sidney has spoken, that those happened just around the time that the Dominion or Smartmatic people called a halt to the election. And then you can also trace it with a very big spike in the vote count at exactly that time. What we're telling you is supported by, we're going to have to present these because of the procedures that exist according to the different voting laws of the different states. For example, you asked us about Wisconsin. We have to first create a contest in Wisconsin before we can move to bringing a fulsome federal lawsuit. The contest, from everything I can see, is going to overturn the vote because it's going to show somewhere around 100,000 illegal ballots in two counties that Biden carried by 75-80%, and you know how close Wisconsin is. And what I'm talking about is the absentee ballots for which there were no applications. And that's not just a small matter. The reason for the application and the reason to keep all these things together is precisely to avoid what the Democrats did in this election, which is to misuse the absentee ballot process and the mail-in ballot process in order to cheat. So they really cheated in two respects. They cheated with the machines. Instead of asking me, are we going to bring a lawsuit in Wisconsin, which we will if we have to, you should have asked me, and you should be more astounded by the fact that our votes are counted in Germany and in Spain by a company owned by affiliates of Chavez and Maduro. Did you ever believe that was true? Did any of you here believe that that was possible? Of course it shouldn't be possible. I don't know if we're going to have time to develop all that in time to fill the requirements of all these cases. We have enough evidence without that to overturn this election. We have it from the affidavits of American citizens. But that's a matter of national security that we're talking about now. Very, very serious matter of national security. Please don't make light of it. And don't act like you knew it. Don't act like it isn't a surprise. If that's not a headline tomorrow, then you don't know what a headline is. There isn't a single person in this country that would have believed that we have states that are stupid enough to have our vote sent out of this country. You couldn't possibly believe that the company counting our vote with control over our vote is owned by two Venezuelans who were allies of Chavez, are present allies of Maduro, with a company whose chairman is a close associate and business partner of George Soros, the biggest donor to the Democrat Party, the biggest donor to Antifa, and the biggest donor to Black Lives Matter. My goodness, what do we have to do to get you to give our people the truth? Yes.
Thank you, Giuliani. My name is Liz Willis with RSPN. Some on this legal team have mentioned before that people close to the Trump campaign are pressuring them to drop the investigation into Dominion. Can you go further into detail and tell us specifically who those people are? Also, if it's possible, can you tell us if they work with some of our powerful defense groups in the United States, such as the CIA?
I'm in charge of this investigation with Sidney and the people that you see here. There's been no pressure to stop investigating Dominion. In fact, there's pressure to go as fast as we can. I mean, I think when I first heard it, I didn't believe it until Sidney showed me the documents. And in fact, I feel kind of stupid, and you all should, because all you had to do is go online and find out that Smartmatic is owned by Venezuelans close to Chavez. You can Google it. Well, unless they take it down. I preserved it, so you can find it. Not, you know. And by the way, the Coomer character, who is close to Antifa, took off all of his social media. We've got it. The man is a vicious, vicious man. He wrote horrible things about the president. He is completely biased. He's completely warped. And he specifically says that they're going to fix this election. I don't know what you need to wake you up to do your job and inform the American people, whether you like it or not, of the things they need to know. This is real. It is not made up. It is not. There's nobody here that engages in fantasies. I've tried 100 cases. I prosecuted some of the most dangerous criminals in the world. I know crimes. I can smell them. You don't have to smell this one. I can prove it to you 18 different ways. I can prove to you that he won Pennsylvania by 300,000 votes. I can prove to you that he won Michigan by probably 50,000 votes. When I went to bed on election night, he was ahead in all those states, every single one of those states. How is it they all turned around? Every single one of them turned around? Or is it more consistent that there was a plan to turn him around? And since there are witnesses who say there was a plan to turn him around, and it kind of begs credulity to say that it all happened in every single state, my goodness, this is how you win cases in a courtroom.
Sir, is it your goal to pressure officials and lawmakers in these battleground states to block or delay certification so the GOP can pick their own electors? Is that the end game?
Our goal here is to go around the iron curtain of censorship that, what publication are you with?
CNN.
It's to go around the outrageous iron curtain of censorship and get facts to the American people that if you were a fair and honest network, you'd have been reporting for the last 2 weeks. These are facts. These are things that actually happened. These people really wrote these affidavits. These affidavits are really part of the public record. You're concealing them, you're covering them up, and our role here is to do your job because you don't do it. I don't know where the FBI has been for the last 3 years. I have no idea where the FBI has been for the last 4 years. Explain to me how the FBI concealed a memo in the hand of Brennan to Obama saying that Hillary basically made up the Russian collusion plot. They withheld that for 4 years and cost our country $40 million and two impeachment, one attempted, one actual, and then an acquittal proceeding. I don't know where they've been. I don't know where they were on the hard drive. They got it 10 months ago. There are clear crimes revealed on it. Didn't do anything with that. I don't know where they are now. Our country has had its ballots counted, calculated, and manipulated in a foreign country with a company controlled by friends of an enemy of the United States. What do we have to do to get the FBI to wake up? Maybe we need a new agency to protect us. I have no idea.
In terms of the level of corruption we are looking at here, we have no idea how many Republican or Democratic candidates in any state across the country paid to have the system rigged to work for them. These people didn't do this just to take control. They make one heck of a lot of money off of it. Think about the global interests behind your own news organizations. Think about the pressure being brought to bear from the social media companies to shut down free speech on any challenge to the election. This is a massive, well-funded, coordinated effort to deprive we, the people of the United States, of our most fundamental right under the Constitution to preserve this republic that we all cherish. It is of the greatest concern. It is the 1775 of our generation and beyond.
After votes being held and processed, tabulated overseas, there's reports that there was a piece of hardware, possibly a server, picked up in Germany. Is that true, and is it related to this?
That is true. It is somehow related to this, but I do not know whether good guys got it or bad guys got it.
First, on the issue of the machines, do you plan to have, are you seeking a court order to either seize or subpoena or just to gain access to any of these machines in any of these contested districts? Have you begun that process? And when can we expect a timeline on that? And then for you, Mr. Mayor, you mentioned in Wisconsin and in Michigan these issues of overvoting. Where can we learn more about this? You're saying 150, 200%?
Up to 350% in some places.
We have now three overvote analysis is done. One for Pennsylvania, one for Michigan, and one for Wisconsin. We're in the process, Georgia. We're in the process of doing the others. I'll check to see if it's appropriate for us to make it public. I imagine it is, but you could actually do it.
Yeah.
You could do it yourself.
A lot of the analysis comes from the real-time data that came through to the news medias the night and following the election. And some entrepreneurs out there have started crunching data themselves in addition to multiple experts who could easily recognize with the mathematical brain that I do not have the beyond explicable deviations to the point of mathematical impossibility that 186,000 votes come in at once all for Joe Biden. That's like flipping a coin 186,000 times and it lands on heads every time. That does not happen. There is no reasonable explanation for the upshoots, the straight lines up. I'm not even talking about an angle. I'm talking about some massive straight lines up in the vote tallies in the middle of the night after they've supposedly stopped counting. And that's when the Dominion operators went in and injected votes and changed the whole system. And it affects votes around the country, around the world, and all kinds of massive interests of globalist dictators, corporations, you name it. Everybody's against us except President Trump and we the people of the United States.
You've spoken of unleashing the Kraken. Is the country ready for this? I mean, Americans should be astonished at what you're saying here today. Is the country on the verge of an electoral breakdown?
We've already had it. We have already had that electoral breakdown. But the Constitution, as Jenna explains, has provisions in it for how you fix this. And there should never be another election conducted in this country. I don't care if it's for local dog catcher using a Dominion machine and Smartmatic software. We've got to have an American company that uses paper ballots that we can all verify so every one of us can see that our vote is our vote.
Remember, this case didn't begin with Dominion. This case began, and this case can be proven the old-fashioned way. It can be proven based on just good old-fashioned Democratic tactics that go back to Mayor Daley in the 1960s, when he held the vote back in Chicago so that he could elect John F. Kennedy. Or as recently as last year, when they held the vote back in Palm Beach County and Broward County in order to see if they could steal that election for the Senate and governor, and then got caught manufacturing ballots. Democrats have been doing this for years on a small scale. When they passed the mail-in voter statute, which all of a sudden multiplied by 10 times the number of mail-in votes, they realized they could have a field day. They could do precisely what Jimmy Carter and Secretary Baker warned us about. All you have to do is own an election board, and you can get away with it. And unlike what Sidney is talking about, where you could have a paper trail, a paper ballot. I tried to point out to you, the minute that you separate the outer envelope from the ballot, you can no longer trace it, which is why the count, whatever the count in Georgia today is, it's totally ridiculous. They're counting the same fraudulent ballots one more time. Yes. And we're still very close. Well, it is about something. Let's go from the big picture to the smaller picture. The most important thing here is that this has been a massive attack on the integrity of the voting system in the greatest democracy on earth. The people who did this have committed one of the worst crimes that I've ever seen. One of the things we're the most proud of in this country is that we've been such a long-standing democracy based on the right to vote. They have trashed the right to vote. They've dishonored the right to vote. They've destroyed the right to vote in their greed for power and money. And there's no doubt about it. This was not an individual idea of 10 or 12 Democrat bosses. This is a plan. You would have to be a fool not to realize that. They do the same thing in exactly the same way in 10 big Democrat-controlled crooked city. And when I say crooked city, go look at how many of their officials have gone to jail in the last 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 years that they have dominated and destroyed those cities. They picked the places where they could get away with it. They picked the places where, whether or not Republicans testified to something, judges would just dismiss it because judges are appointed politically and too many of them are hacks. They picked places where they could get a sheriff that refused to enforce a court order. When we got a court order that we could be 10 feet closer, our representatives were told, if you try to do it, I'll arrest you. Part one, it began as a national conspiracy. Clearly, that evidence emerged very, very quickly. The minute I saw that it was the same thing in 10 states, just using logic, I said, this can't be an accident. And then what I was surprised about is the dimension of it. Not inspecting almost 700,000 ballots is astounding.
Are you suggesting that Joe Biden was part of that conspiracy? I just wonder what your evidence is.
Honestly, I don't know what Joe Biden is aware of or not aware of. And I mean that as a lawyer, not trying to be cute. I've watched him. I've observed him. I honestly don't know how much he's aware. I don't know how much he decides and how much things are decided for him.
That's one other thing to your question about the process. Your question is fundamentally flawed when you're asking where is the evidence. You clearly don't understand the legal process. What we have asked for in the court is to not have the certification of false results. And so to say, hold on a minute, we have evidence that we will present to the court. we haven't had the opportunity yet to present that to the court. We're giving you an overview and a preview of what we've discovered, but no court yet has had that opportunity. So when we have we have fraud allegations pending, so what we've asked for are temporary restraining orders or injunctions to not certify false results. We're very happy that the reason we dismissed that lawsuit today is because the Michigan county in Wayne County, they're not going to certify that because 71% of counties have inconsistent data. No person in this room or in this country should want states to rush through and coronate a president with false results. We have to make sure that the results are accurate. Well, that's what we will prove.
Two more questions.
The Secretary of State says that can't actually happen, that those votes can't be rescinded, and that the certification in Michigan currently stands. The
Secretary of State where?
In Michigan.
Yeah, well, there are problems in Michigan.
Follow the political party, ma'am. I mean, you're actually seriously going to want me to take seriously the Secretary of State of Michigan when the Secretary of State of Michigan never bothered to find out that the votes in her state were being counted in Germany by a Venezuelan company, and you want me to take her seriously or him seriously? I mean, I was in government. If I were the governor of that state, I'd fire everybody that was involved in this election. They didn't come and tell me that my state was going to be embarrassed, made a fool of, because I'm sending my votes of people in Michigan over to Germany to be counted by a company that is owned by people who are allies of Maduro and Chavez. By the way, Carolyn Maloney, who wrote that, is my congresswoman. A Democrat pointed that out. They didn't do the darndest bit of due diligence. If you bought a $10 million company, you would have done more due diligence than that. Maybe they're incompetent, or maybe they didn't want to know. But you're not going to have me take seriously anything that comes from anyone involved in the election the way it was conducted in Michigan.
But you guys are saying that those votes have been rescinded. They haven't. The Secretary of State there says that they can't be.
The Secretary of State can say whatever she wants to say. Of course she's going to say that. She's a Democrat. She could also credit the affidavits of the two people and say that the board is tied and therefore the vote hasn't been certified. So because she's a Democrat, she's saying that. Do you think she has any credibility having run the kind of election they ran in Michigan? You think anyone in that government has credibility after using a machine and fooling their citizens? There can't be a person in Michigan who thought their vote was being sent outside the United States so somebody could play with it. It's disgraceful what the government of Michigan did to its citizens. Absolutely disgraceful. We are limited in what we can do. We're not the FBI. We're not the government. We don't have that kind of subpoena power. We don't have the power to just go subpoena anything we want. The government does. We would have to subpoena it in line with a case. Our first case, we're asking for that authority in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. But you have to get that authority from the court. We're private citizens. We're not the government. If I were the government, like I used to be, there'd probably be a lot of people arrested by now because there's plenty of probable cause. Yes.
I'm from the Daily Caller, for the record. If the courts don't let you present these cases like Jenna just said, will you give the entire bulk of the evidence to the media to review? And if so, when? Or are you going to drag this thing out like the Hunter Biden hard drive again?
We're not going to drag it out. I mean, it's ridiculous for you to say we're dragging it out. Al Gore had a lot more time than we've had, and we've had 2 weeks to investigate. So that's also completely unfair to say we're dragging it out. Also, if we're going to present things in court, if we present it to you, judges are not going to be very happy with us. And finally, I have to tell you, our witnesses don't want to be exposed to the tender mercies of a vicious press. I have great difficulty getting those witnesses that I did reveal to allow me to do it. They don't trust you. They don't like you. They think you put their lives in jeopardy with the spin that you put on what's going on here and with the unfairness in which you cover it. It's not easy to reveal the things that they tell me. The answer is I can't do it because I can't put a witness's life in jeopardy or a person who thinks there's life in jeopardy. This woman tells me we have lawyers dropping out of the case. We have lawyers dropping out of the case because they're being threatened with destruction of their careers, destruction of their livelihood, and in some cases, destruction of their lives. That comes about because of the hysterical way in which you have covered Donald Trump and his administration. But we're going to change all that. We're going to go to court. We're going to prove it in court. I would love to release all the information that I have. I would love to give it to you all, except most of you wouldn't cover it. A few of you would. And then we'd have half the American people probably informed. The censorship that is going on in this country right now by big tech and by big media is almost as dangerous as the election fraud that we're revealing. Maybe just as dangerous. We're headed to a very bad place. And it is not inappropriate that a Venezuelan company counted our votes.
Okay. They gave you all kinds of information. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple other things. One of the things is a website. You don't have to guess what the information is. You no longer have to guess where the proof is. This website is very simple. HereisTheEvidence.com. HereisTheEvidence.com. This is a website where you can submit evidence and you can read all the evidence that has been made available. Now, when you go there, it's going to take a while to load. They're under constant attack. The Demunist Democrat commies, and I revert back to that now and then. We just call them the evil. The evil. They've been attacking that website since it went up. When I went there last, there were seven pages. Seven pages. And these aren't little short 8.5 by 11 pages. There were seven pages of voter fraud and atrocities that had been committed is the proper word, by the Democrats. Now, some information was given to me just recently. My son sent me this link, and most people would never even think to look at this link. Basically, what it is circuit assignments from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, you know, you have the First Circuit and the Sixth, Seventh, Eighth, Ninth Circuit courts. The lead of those courts are from the Supreme Court. And what it is they're assigned. Each one of the Supreme Court justices gets assigned to one of those courts. It's revolving. It changes. Let me read it to you. And you can go there. You can go supremecourt.gov and you can find it yourself. But I'm going to have the link up. It is ordered that the following allotment be made of the Chief Justice and the Associate Justices of this court among the circuits, pursuant to Title 28 United States Code, Section 42, and that such allotment be entered of record effective November 20th. All right? November 20th, the government, and I don't know who does this, moved things around. This is almost like musical chairs. Rudy was talking about how they have to go to the circuit courts and go up the steps that way on these lawsuits. Well, they just put certain people in charge of those states that the certain circuits cover, such as for the Third Circuit, which is Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virgin Island, Samuel Alito. He's in charge of the Third Circuit Court. And the Fourth Circuit Court that covers Maryland, North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Virginia is now John Roberts. For this Fifth Circuit Court, which is Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas, is Samuel Alito as well. For the Sixth Circuit, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee, is Brett Kavanaugh. For the Seventh Circuit, which is Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, is Amy Coney Barrett. For the Eighth Circuit, Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, is Brett Kavanaugh. So the theoretically conservative justices, chief justices, have been moved to control of all the circuit courts where Trump's legal team is going to have to apply to. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about it for now. Remember, Survival Enterprises got shortwave radios coming in, and they're going to be between $75 and $100 a piece, and that's with everything. So I don't know. I don't know what they are yet. We're going to have to figure it out once we get the invoice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a very interesting week because of the fact that the criminals known as Democrats in the United States are pulling out all stops. They are threatening all the Republicans that have anything to do with this election. It's astounding. They're threatening them. They're coming out live on Twitter and Facebook and threatening people. And of course, they're not being taken down because, well, that's okay because they're communists. And as long as they're not conservatives, and whatever happens, it's not going to be slow. Whatever happens is going to be fast. At least in our mind, it's going to be fast. The problem is communication is one of the systems that have to be under full control by the communists for a complete takeover. And once we went from just cell phones and a little bit of internet to almost full internet and social media, they have to change their method of control. And that method now is censoring us. All the mainstream media censors people, all of them, including Fox News. And YouTube and Google and you name it. One of my shows, by the way, August 23rd of this year, was magically deleted from my server so nobody could read the show notes. And in it was a link to a movie called Shadowgate. My son just brought this to my attention. It got deleted. So there's a lot of censoring going on. There's a lot of controlling going on. And you're going to have to be aware that when information breaks, It's not going to come to you first. It goes to the mainstream media, and they determine whether or not you need to hear this. And if they determine you, quote unquote, you need to hear this, they will determine which of you get to hear it. Like when there's criminal exposés on Biden, well, they have them in Australia. You've got to be aware. It will happen fast, and you don't know what it'll be. It could be all of a sudden all banking went down, which, by the way, it just did for us up in North Idaho. You can't access your online bank. I don't know if it's up and running yet because I'm in a studio, but it happens. And all of a sudden, none of your credit cards are going to work. You got to be aware of this. Costco, you go into Costco at the gas station and you use your credit card to get gas. Well, all their machines went down for one hour. Nobody could use a credit card to get gas. Well, that's the only option you have. You can't use cash. So these are things that people don't think about, or they think it'll never happen to them. Every day somebody comes in here. Now, we only take cash at the store. People come in here and they want to buy something and they have no cash. Every day. Guy came in, he wanted to buy a $5 item. He had no cash. He goes, I just use my card all the time. When that card doesn't work, what are you going to do? Right now, you're going to keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground and your eyes wide open. Situational awareness will keep you alive and make you more comfortable. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.